You are listening to Salty Believer Unscripted, a conversation on Christian ministry and the Christian life.
This is Salty Believer Unscripted. I'm Josiah Walker.
And I'm Brian Catherman.
Salty Believer Unscripted exists to help the Christian equip him for the Christian journey, him or her. And so along those lines, today we're going to be talking about the Trinity.
Yay! And,
more specifically, I want to talk about bad analogies for the Trinity. It seems like throughout history, there's always bad analogies for trying to define the Trinity and teach it to others. And Brian and I were talking recently offline about a new meme or a new example that's come out that to talk about the Trinity. You found this, Brian, right?
So, yeah. And I'm not picking on anybody who might think this is great. That's how these things always go sideways when we look at what's wrong with analogies, because people love their analogies, and that's how they learned to understand the Trinity. And then they go, well, but you're picking on my favorite. I thought that egg, how does that go? Shell, yolk, egg white was so great.
Yep.
Or
water.
Oh, yeah. How does the water one work? We're going to talk about why these are problematic, but tell us about the water one.
It's all H2O, right? H2O, but some of it is liquid, some of it's steam, some of it's ice, and all three of those make up H2O, which makes up God, you know.
And how about you're a father?
Oh yeah,
but you're also a son and a husband, and
yeah.
Are these the bulk of them? I'm trying to think.
We all have different roles.
The sun emits light.
Oh yep.
Let's see. The sun. The sun can emit light and heat and. Anyway, I can't remember exactly how
there's
that
lots of them out
there's
there, right?
Lots and lots of them out
the three leaf clover. How can we forget that one?
Oh, the clover, right? Yeah. Like, oh, God is just like this three leaf clover. Okay, I think we need to do this before we even talk about the new one that's making the rounds. And that is, we need to say that there is nothing inside of creation that serves as an analogy or an illustration of the Trinity who is outside of creation, right? Like, God is transcendent outside of this thing, and we can't contain this infinite God within an illustration that is inside of creation. We have to come to grips with that.
Okay, so along those lines, let's really define and explain why these other analogies that we've kind of talked about are bad. Because our listeners might be thinking, wait, that's what my Sunday school teacher used, or that's my favorite one to use, so how is that one wrong?
That's how you want to take the swing first. Okay.
So let's start with the three-leaf clover. Like, what makes that one wrong?
Okay, the three-leaf clover is, and so there's lots of names that get associated with these people who expounded on these heresies that were determined heretical. We're not going to do that. We want to make it really practical. So the easiest way to think about the clover there is partialism.
Sure.
Partialism means that you have God, you have the individual persons not being 100% of the whole. So right. They're not fully God. They're only part God. They're all collected in parts.
Right. Right. Right? The three-leaf clover, all those little pieces are parts of the clover, but they're not all the same clover, right?
So if I grabbed onto, and people will say, see, the whole clover is like God, but I could grab onto the leaf that's Jesus and pluck it off not only have Jesus and still, now do I still have all of God, part of God? So each one makes up like a one-third part.
Right.
So like, let's say you're dividing up a pie, you have a pie chart. Well, here's the tricky part. Jesus is 100% and the Holy Spirit is 100%.
Yeah.
And God is 100%, and everyone goes, that's impossible. I'm like, inside of creation it is. This is the complexity of this thing.
Kind of like the analogy with the man who is a father, a husband, and a son. He's not all three of those things to the same people, right?
Right. That particular problem is modalism. He's functioning in different modes, in different relationships to different people. In fact, that's actually what the water analogy does too. It's all water, see? But when it's this temperature, it's functioning in this mode. When it's that temperature, it's functioning in that mode, and so on and so forth. So the single molecule of water cannot be ice, gas, and liquid in the same context at the same time. The Father to one person is not also the Son to the same person. So you have this one God functioning in different modes. The Bible does not treat the the triune God that way. Okay, you don't have right now he's Jesus, then later, right now he's the Son, then later he's the Holy Spirit, then later he's the Father. You don't have that. You even have scriptures where you see the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit operating within the same space at the same time. Jesus' baptism, great example. There's plenty of examples. Going back biblically to the previous one in partialism, we have the Shema, and we have the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6, you have there is only one God. Well, then how do we have a Father and a Son and a Spirit? Well, they're all one God, three persons. So we can get into the language when we get to what is the right way to express this in a minute.
Sure.
But what am I, have I covered? I haven't covered Arianism.
Right. Arianism is the Son, right?
Because the sun, if we use the physical like star sun example where heat is emanated out of the sun and light is emanated out of the sun, what you actually have there is that one thing is creating the other things.
Right. Right.
Right. And we don't as opposed have that.
Because the Son has eternally existed, begotten from the Father, right?
Right.
So.
And so, and which that means the Father has eternally been a Father. If there was no Son, there'd be no Father. If there was ever a time when there wasn't Jesus or the Holy Spirit, we have problems, right? So that particular one does have a name. I don't know if there's another name for that, but Arianism.
No, I think Arianism.
I mean, I was trying to say, like, let's be practical here. What would be an easy, I don't know how to get more practical than that, but one thing is the creator of another thing, and one of those things is the creation. So the heat is created by the star itself. The light that we see is created by the star. So if you said you have the star, you have the heat, and you have the light.
Those are all three different things.
You have Aaron.
Same with the egg. The egg is kind of tritheism, I think is what they call it, right?
Well, the egg is also partialism.
Yeah.
Like, because you have a lot of those words that fit into one word, so tritheism and partialism could be consolidated.
Yeah, same with the clover,
but it's just parts, right? You have different parts that don't, because the egg, you can say, well, I call it all an egg, but I can clearly say, well, if I have only the shell, just a piece of shell, would somebody say I have an egg? Well, theoretically, it's part of a thing. And then what happens if I don't have part of it? Is it not whole? Is the egg complete? Could I say the egg is fully egg when it doesn't have a shell?
Right.
Well, it gets really convoluted. It's not that we're picking on the analogies. It's that we're picking on how we understand God. And we just don't have the mind to get a picture created for this that works well.
What's so that really comes one? Back to the that all comes back, but to our main statement that you opened this episode with is that there's nothing in creation that really can define who God is or explain him rightly because these things all fall apart. So just share, like the new one.
Yeah, share the new one. Tell us about the new one.
Weird that, so I was a little taken back when you were telling me about this because the example that's coming out now feels like an old example because you were talking about fidget spinners.
Right.
And I remember before COVID when those came out and I was in the grocery business and we couldn't get enough of them in. And then the newness or the thrill of a fidget spinner kind of wore off. And so then we were stuck with a bunch of them. So
and then it was just fidget garbage, right?
Right. Yeah. You couldn't give them away. It's like, oh, thanks, a fidget spinner. So you were saying that there's a meme now with the fidget spinner where because it has three little sides to it, kind of like the clover, they're saying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all the little bearings on each end. And then when you spin it, if you spin it, it becomes like a blur. And so then that's all, well, it's all God. They're all just spinning and working together.
From our so the idea, I think, is, well, from our perspective, it makes them look like it's just all God. But in a moment of time, those are all three individual parts.
Right.
And even still, what you have is you have this node, like the three-leaf clover, that is not God. Now, okay, so there's another diagram you've probably seen, and if you didn't have words on the diagram, it would be really bad because it's a diagram with three nodes, so to speak.
Right.
It's like a triangle, and in the middle of the triangle, it has a circle that says God, and on the outer points of each one of those triangles, it has the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The key, though, is the lines because there are lines from each of the outer nodes going to the middle that say God. And on each of those lines, it says is. Okay, so the Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God, which we also see that they're worshipped. They're talked about as being God throughout the Bible. Even though there's one God, Those three persons are all talked about as being God. So that's that diagram isn't so much that it's an analogy, but it's making a statement that they're all God. But then you have the lines between each of those. If you were to Google like diagram of the Trinity, you'd probably find this. Between the Father and the Son, there's a line that says is not.
Right.
And then between the Son and the Spirit is not. And then so what you get is the Son is not the Father or the Spirit is not the Father or the Son, the Father is not the Spirit or the Son, but all of them are God. So that's probably right. The best picture, if we wanted to create some kind of picture of how we should think sure. about the Trinity, but that requires a logical argument that there are three persons, each are fully God, fully equal, in all glory and majesty. They're not parts. They don't get one third of the glory and the majesty each. They're all fully God. However, they are three persons in one God. Right? And I get that Correct. It's complicated, but it's not like this is, it's complicated.
Right. And I get that with the fidget spinner and with these other examples, we're trying to teach that those three persons are God. But the reality is it just doesn't paint the full picture. It's an incomplete picture. Because it doesn't have those other lines of sharing how the Holy Spirit is not the Father and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, but all three of those are God. I think that diagram really is the best way to explain that. And so what we fail to realize, because I know oftentimes we think, well, these seem harmless. These seem like harmless examples or, you know, it's the closest thing we can get to. But we don't really, I think, take into consideration the fact that we're really doing a disservice to God and we're not painting a complete picture of God, the person that we're trying to use this as an example to teach about God to. You know,
yeah.
So yep. I obviously our podcast is an audio recording, so nobody can see us or look at us. But you know, you and I are both bald. We've got beards. if I said that you looked differently than you actually did, if I said you had long dark hair and big sunglasses on, and that's not who you are, and that's not what you are, that's not a good picture of who you are.
No, and it's actually a lie.
Right.
You're actually speaking
a lie. It's a
lie. If you're trying to describe God and then you use lies, right? That's a problem.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to be people who lie. And so
right. So I think back to my Sunday school teacher who used, you know, probably the water or the egg analogy with me. And I know she wasn't trying to teach me heresy or teach me a lie, but that was something that as an adult, I had to kind of unpack and wrestle with because I didn't understand why that wasn't accurate anymore. When
yeah.
I think what would have been more impactful for me, even as an elementary age kid, was to say to me, kind of like we did at the beginning of the podcast, Joe, there is nothing in creation that can really represent or define what God is and help us understand the Trinity other than to say there's nothing in it like it, which just paints God as something bigger than creation, yeah. which helps me wrap my head around how big our God is.
It's fun when you can say you cannot find anything that exists that can be like it. I mean, there's lines like, who is like our God in the Psalms, right? I can't remember exactly where that is, 93, maybe Psalm 93. Who is like our God? There is none like our God, right? There's nothing his equal. You're not going to find anything that even remotely can do what our God can do inside of creation. Now, these things are the helpful tool. And I do think you need to be nice to your Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
You need to understand the intentions. But that's probably the better way to handle this big complexity.
Well, and probably not beat yourself up if you've ever used those analogies. You know, we all make mistakes as we're learning and growing. Yeah. So these heresies that we're talking about, too, these are not new heresies.
No, I think
that's the other thing, too, we need to understand is mankind throughout history has wrestled with how to define God and how to explain him to those who are hearing about him for the first time.
Which, by the way, there are people that say, well, you can't find the word Trinity in the Bible. Well, you can't find that word, sure, but you see the concept all over the pages of the Bible. And people will say, well, did they just make this up? And I would say to them, why would anybody make up something so complicated to explain? Why wouldn't you just make something up you could explain inside of creation? Sure. But the reality is we see it all over the place. And therefore, here's all the evidence of what we see in the Bible. It's hard to get an easier handle to summarize what we see in the Bible. So if you really want to get a picture of the Trinity, read your whole Bible.
Sure.
That's the best. That's the living word of God. That's the revelation that he's given to us. That's the ultimate and best picture. But when we're trying to summarize it, we get stuck
Right.
on stuff. It gets
Yeah.
really complicated and tricky and just it becomes a real challenge, you know?
Well, and that's where the church throughout history has come up with creeds and confessions to help us explain this and define this and share this with others.
Most of those creeds actually, I mean, sometimes we've had people get over the course of years say, no, this isn't working, this is difficult, you got
Sure.
this one wrong. But I would say the one that probably stands out the best to try to get at explaining the Trinity in a summary fashion is the Athanasius Creed. Athanasius, this is earlier. He lived in, if you're 200, so that'd be the 3rd century going into the 4th century. I think he straddled 2 centuries, but 3rd and 4th century. So I think this was probably written in the 4th century. I think it's probably one of the best ways to articulate this. And I mean, we could read the whole
Sure.
thing, but we specific lines that become really helpful. The Father is Almighty, the Son is Almighty, the Holy Spirit is Almighty, and yet there are not three Almighties, but one
Right.
Almighty, So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Like if you were to go through a lot of these things, they are
Yeah.
co-equal in, majesty. They were co, you know, they are co-eternal. So there's only one Father, and they're like I would just encourage Google
Yeah.
the
No, it's a good
Athanasius
to
Creed
read
and
through.
read it. It's not super
Yeah.
long. It won't kill you. I could probably read it on the podcast, but it would take up a couple good minutes, right?
Yeah.
But it's super, super helpful in like just this is what it takes to try to get everything dialed in so that we could
Right.
articulate this in some clear fashion.
Right. And in a more effective way than using a bad analogy that doesn't really define God rightly or explain him correctly. It's also important to remember, too, that these creeds and confessions were written by humans. So they're not divinely inspired. They're not inerrant like scripture is. So I think it goes back to starting with scripture and just using the creed to really help you wrap your head around how to define what you're seeing in scripture.
That's right. That's right. I just pulled it up. It's 43 lines. You know what else we need to do, Josiah? We've done a good job of not bringing this out, but there's this one giant elephant in the room that we have just not talked about, and it's probably one of the best places if you really want to help people learn
Oh.
how the Trinity works.
Yeah, what would be a good tool or
What would
resource that
be
we
a
could share
good
with our
like?
listeners?
And I want to share a little story about that. You might want to preview it first because there's a little graphic line in it. Not graphic. I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick. The Lutheran satire video. Now, I don't
Yeah.
necessarily recommend everything they've ever made, but they have Donald and Connell, the two little guys. There's a little cartoon, and it's like bad analogies. Lutheran. Is that what I think that's what it's called? Lutheran satire.
Yeah, St.
So
Patrick's Bad
helpful.
Analogies is the name of the YouTube video.
It is
So,
quite comical. It's what, like maybe 5 minutes long,
yeah.
quite a little
Three
comical.
minutes 50 seconds. It would, this is as long as it would take you to read the Athanasian Creed, but really helpful.
So helpful because
So.
I mean, when you're mentioning Voltron, the giant cat robots that all come together, and isn't that the end? I mean, it's just from I can't help when I hear people say these things go, oh, Patrick.
If you're a visual learner, it's worth it.
I saw that fidget spinner meme, and the very first thing that popped into my head is
Yeah.
partialism
Yeah, because all of these things
revisited.
are, there's nothing new under the sun. They're all heresies that we've battled since the first century. So, yeah. So I can't think of a better note to end on than to invite our listeners to go and watch that video, avoid heresy, and always keep learning, always keep growing. There is very evidently, plain and clear, the Trinity present in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and it's just beautiful to see that in Scripture. And praise God for a God who's bigger than creation.
Amen.
I want to leave us with 2 Corinthians 13:13, and these final words from Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Salty Believer Unscripted is a production of saltybeliever.com. Visit the website to find more resources like the podcast you've just listened to.